have an army. We have a Hulk.
Hello and welcome to episode 70 of We Have a Hulk podcast. You are Nicola, host of this vessel, and yes. I am Christopher, co-pilot of
this. A destroyer of the vessel.
A destroyer, yes. Dez and Troy, my favourite weapons. So what's happening?
So we're going to be talking about what we've been up to, so at home with the Hulks. We've just seen Thor, which is super exciting, so we're going to do a spoiler-free review because this hasn't come out yet in the US, so...
Yes, there's maybe a couple of light spoilers in there.
Well, we'll see. We'll do a TV roundup of everything we've been watching, and we've also got an interview with Desmond Chan from the Shannara Chronicles.
Ooh. At home with the Hulks.
Yes.
What are we up to at the moment?
Currently trying to pack. Yeah, we're also juggling podcasting and working.
And watching films and TV.
And doing interviews.
And doing interviews. Yeah, so we're going on a cruise.
Yeah.
This is a first for us.
First ever cruise, and I'm actually pooping myself because I don't like boats. So this is going to be fun.
I think it'll be fun. The cruise is a big boats.
A big old boat.
They're like ships.
Ships.
So, you'll be fine, I think, because they have, like, stabilizers and everything. You'll be fine.
Okay, well, if this is the last podcast, then I love you all.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Yeah.
Nice today.
So we're going on, it's called the Enchanting Coasts.
It is, yes.
And we're going around, we're starting in Croatia, going through some of Greece, like Greek islands and stuff, and then ending up in Cyprus.
Yes. Yeah. But some of the stops are, like, sort of top of our bucket list, aren't they? So we're going to see Santorini, which is definitely top of mine. So I'm really excited about that. You're getting to see Athens.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing the... it the Acropolis? Parthenon on the Acropolis.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true, but yes.
We get to go back to King's Landing as well. So that's exciting.
That's kind of fun. It's like, we're just going back then.
Yeah, just casual.
Walk up to King's Landing and then probably go back to the boat for a bit.
Yeah. You know on Facebook, it's got like that however many years ago, and it was like, oh, you were in King's Landing 2 years ago. I was like, I'll be back there soon. Yeah. Nice to see you. So yeah, I think that's super exciting.
Yeah, that's probably the most exciting thing that's going on in our lives right now.
Yes. We also went to see School of Rock the Musical, if you like the film, then I think you'll really enjoy this because it was really good. Also, the kids were fantastic. They played all of their instruments, so that makes you feel very inadequate as a human being.
It makes you feel awful, but also quite happy because you enjoyed.
Fair play, yes. basically just trying to watch as much TV as possible because we got some very exciting screenings, which we're not really allowed to talk about, but it was The Punisher. But that's all we're allowed to say, so look out for future episode.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty much... it in that way, isn't it? I've been reading a couple of comics as per usual, carrying on with my Assassin's book. That's pretty good. Yes, the one that Nate recommended from Nerd Chatting.
Yeah.
The Assassin's Apprentice, something like that. Oh, I can't remember now.
But is this his favourite author or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Robin Hobbs.
Okay.
Something like that. Sorry if that's wrong. but yeah, I'm really hoping to finish it on holiday because I've bought Ready Player One because Dave from Jack and the Geek Talk really loved that.
Okay,
and I'm like,
I might have to
read
that after you.
Yeah.
You'll probably get through it quite quickly, won't you? So.
Yeah, probably. And we've got a day at sea, so I might buy
book
down.
The latest Terry Pratchett book or whatever, you know, the last one.
Okay, that'd be good.
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah, super sad. Also, there's a new Dan Brown book out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I'm quite excited about. I don't know whether to get that or not. It was like $9.99. I was like, oh.
We'll see. When we're in the airport, you know,
maybe.
There's always that time to buy books
true.
And stuff in there.
Yeah,
so,
time to browse. Poo-poo.
Right, what else? Oh, we went to my mate's house for a little barbecue.
Yes, played Exploding Kittens.
We played Exploding Kittens.
Love that car game.
Yes.
If you haven't played it yet, play it.
We also played something else where it was like you're a werewolf or a villager.
Or a witch or an oracle.
It was very confusing to me. I feel like I'd need a week just to work out my strategy before I play that game.
It's like, I don't know if you ever guys ever played Heads Down, Thumbs Up. It's pretty much like that, but a bit more complicated.
Okay.
Did you ever play Heads Down, Thumbs Up?
I feel like I have, but I don't.
Do you know? Okay, so basically it was like at school.
Someone goes around the outside and like
kills someone or something.
No, you have to put your head down, thumbs up. You have to close your eyes, and there's a couple of people that like pinch people's thumbs, okay. And you have to guess.
Okay, yeah.
Something like that.
But like a more complicated version. And I feel like there were way too many werewolves because they were ganging up on everyone, and it wasn't fair.
And it was always the same people.
Yeah. It was supposed to be, yeah, whatever. It was good.
It was good.
I enjoyed exploding kittens more.
Okay. We've also been playing some more Rocket League. That was quite fun. And then trying to explain Bonfire Night to someone who's not from the UK. We'll talk about that later because we also watched Bonfire. So,
yes. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Is that what it's called? I'm sure it's called Bonfire. I think it's called Bonfire. I'm sure there's a device we can look up. I think that's pretty much about it. Just like trying to cram as much TV in as we can, to be honest.
Yes. So, next, we got our Thor review.
Thor.
Okay, so we looked it up. It's called Gunpowder. It's not called Bonfire.
No, my bad.
So we're just back from Thor Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
I loved it. It was so funny. It was the best Thor film ever. And yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because Thor traditionally hasn't been one of my favourite ones.
Yeah, you know? I think that's fair.
But I absolutely loved this. I think it might actually be top spot for me.
What, Marvel film ever?
Maybe.
What?
Because that okay. might be too bold. That might be post-film kind of. post-film. I don't know what you call that, but. No, I think that was possibly my favouritest one. It was just really funny.
Yeah.
Great story. Lots of stuff about the heroes. You know, they kept the whole bad guy thing. It was good. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
So we're not going to do any spoilers. We're just going to do a quick spoiler-free review because I know it's not out in the US yet.
Okay.
We might go into spoilers in the next Marvel one, if we remember.
Okay.
So Thor Ragnarok is the third Thor film.
Right.
It's directed by... Do you want me to take this one?
Taika Waititi?
Yep. What's he previously done then, Chris?
He did We Live in the Shadows or whatever.
What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows. Yeah. Really loved that film. That was hilarious. Yeah. Quite interesting.
It was like a mockumentary.
Yeah. They're quite
vampires.
Quite small films, aren't they? The ones he's previously done.
And also Hunt for the Wilder People.
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Which was very good.
I really enjoy his films.
Yeah.
But it's quite interesting to see that those were quite small films.
Super,
and this is a massive jump up.
Yeah.
In terms of
Marvel are kind of doing that at the moment, aren't they? I mean, James Gunn was pretty much unknown, and then he did Guardians of the Galaxy, which is one of my favourites.
That is true.
So,
they're
playing to Marvel, you know. Yeah. So basically, the synopsis is, imprisoned, the mighty Thor finds himself in a lethal gladiatorial... Is that right?
Gladiatorial, yes.
Okay. Contest against the Hulk, his former ally. Thor must fight for survival and race against time to prevent the all-powerful Hela from destroying his home and the Asgardian civilization. Ooh. So the film stars Chris Hemsworth, of course, Tom Hiddleston, Kate Blanchett, Jeff Goldblum, Tessa Thompson, Carl Urban, Mark Ruffalo, Anthony Hopkins, loads of people. I'm not going to spoil all of the people that are in it because there's some great cameos.
Yeah. They were actually brilliant.
They were fantastic.
Looking at each other like, what?
So, yes, story and plot. What did you think of
this? Story and plot. I think it had a lot of heart.
Yes.
It was very funny at the same time.
Yes.
Definitely followed kind of the hero story more than kind of the villain. Do you know what I mean? Which is good. I like that. Because it's all about the journey, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't have too much of that kind of just fighting all the time and everything. But they kept it moving. Like when they were doing their exposition or whatever, they were also fighting or something at the same time. Yeah. It kept it moving.
Or it was like an interesting sort of artistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great because it just keeps it moving, doesn't it? And it's really cool. Yeah, I thought it was great.
It was nice and simple.
Yeah, it wasn't over the top.
No. And it was, basically, it had some great character progression.
The characters were over the top. The
oh, really? Great.
But we'll go, characters are separate. Okay. The characters are a separate thing. So we're talking about plot.
No, I really enjoyed it. The only thing that does slightly let it down, which we'll probably go on later, was maybe Hela?
Maybe.
But Marvel is known for typically not the strongest of villains. But I'm sure we'll see a very strong villain coming up soon.
I'm okay with that. For me, it's about the hero's journey more than the villain. And I think that's something that Marvel do really great because they don't go into these like really crazy battle scenes with
CGI. Yeah. Well, they kind of do it at the end sometimes. But
they don't overdo it, I don't think. I mean, they do it. They do it big in a small space of time.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is what I like.
Touché.
I think. Okay. I don't know.
I think. Okay, characters. Are you done with plot?
Yeah, I'm done with plot. Okay. Let's go on to characters.
Yeah.
I think I loved all the characters in this.
They were amazing.
I loved them. I mean, even the Hulk. Oh, I feel like he was
just
better.
So funny.
I feel like he was
so funny.
I feel like it's the best Hulk we've seen. It's the best Thor we've seen.
Yeah.
I think the Grandmaster was amazing.
So funny.
Some of the extra characters, like the gladiators and stuff, were hilarious. Like the Taika Waititi's character
Korg.
That he
I
had.
I think he kind of
stole the show a little bit. Yeah.
They feel very Flight of the Conchords, some of the characters.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But he's also got that kind of New Zealand accent or whatever that helps with that. So he's a bit like Grooty type character.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but anyway, who else? I mean, Loki was in it. I
think he played Loki.
I think there was some character progression there.
Yeah,
good.
Definitely.
Idris Elba, always enjoying him as Heimdall. Much the same, though. I didn't really...
Yeah, well, we were kind of expecting something
and
it didn't quite appear. So.
It didn't materialise, but that may be saying too much. Anyway, Tessa Thompson, Valkyrie.
Yeah.
What do you think of her?
I enjoyed her, but I don't know if she was in it enough.
I enjoyed her for the first half.
Okay.
I enjoyed her, like, she's a bit crazy and she drinks a lot and everything.
That's a very funny scene with her.
I felt she kind of flattened out a bit towards the end.
Okay.
She was less interesting, maybe. I just didn't buy her.
You had Scourge, Carl Urban.
Yeah.
He had a nice character development, I thought.
He was okay. He was okay.
He was Janitor.
I think he served his purpose. Yeah, that was fun. That was quite funny. But yeah, Jeff Goldblum is amazing. I think, great. It was great.
I
think
they all just bounced off each other so well. Could tell. I don't know how much they sort of ad-libbed.
Yeah.
But you could kind of tell that was really going on.
I can imagine, like, with Taika Waititi or whatever on set with them and just kind of having a laugh and kind of coming up with ideas as it's happening.
Especially with Jeff Goldblum. I don't know if you can actually, like, make him read straight off the groups.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. He just kind of says what he's saying, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because they were very Jeff Goldblum moments. So it was just like, that's just pure Jeff Goldblum, just off the cuff, which is great.
I feel like he probably just let the camera roll and then it was like, right, go on, just have a go.
Because Jeff Goldblum could talk for hours, couldn't he?
And he even got to do his keyboard, which you have to look out for. So, what did you think of Hela?
Hela, I think she served her purpose in the movie.
Okay.
I think she was a big enough of a threat that it worked. You know, she's supposed to be the goddess of death.
Mm.
And she showed that she was powerful. And I think that's what we really needed.
Hmm.
You know?
There was interesting backstory. I'm not going to say anything more, but that was good, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely enlightened. Mm-hmm. Certain things.
And I think it will... I don't know if it will lead anywhere, but...
No, probably not.
Probably not. But it was good.
So, music and visual effects and such. So, for me, I love the music so much.
Yes.
It was great. It was very sort of electric, electro sort of keyboard.
It's true. There was one bit where I was just looking at it and laughing. What was that? So there's a bit where it sort of goes a bit sort of Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, isn't it?
That's an amazing scene.
That's great, yeah. That's not what that movie's called, though, is it?
Willy Wonka. And the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, I loved that. That was great. And the way that scene ended as well was great. And just everything. Yeah,
It was like super trippy, sort of 70s, 80s psychedelic sort of vibe going on. And it was just amazing.
And that's how it looked as well. It had that kind of psychedelic vibe.
Yeah.
But I really love that look.
Yes.
And it's something we've seen in, like, Guardians and everything. Yeah. And I love that.
I love how this film kind of ties it all together.
Yeah.
I mean, because you've got, obviously, Avengers and, like, everything based on Earth. But then you've got Guardians as well. And that's much more, like, fantastical space opera sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like Thor really rounds them all off really well.
This film did do that. Yeah, it kind of combined the two and made a bridge.
It did.
Between them, which was great.
Maybe one of the rainbow bridges.
Rainbow variety bridge. Yes.
I just thought it looked phenomenal. I mean, it was a shame we didn't actually meet any of the Guardians. That would have been really good. I think it's rumoured from the Avengers trailer that Thor accidentally hits Guardians of the Galaxy's ship. He's just like on the outside of it. So that's kind of interesting.
I think they could have shown up for little cameos or something. I think that would have been okay. I wouldn't have liked to have seen big parts from them, I don't think. Okay. Because I think it was already very well written film. That it didn't need any extra like stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think maybe there may have been too many characters even.
Because
a couple of them didn't really pay off for me. But most of them great.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
I think for me, talking about like the visuals, talking about superhero films, you do get a lot of CGI, but I feel like this really didn't overload you with it, which was really good.
For the most part, yeah, there was a couple of scenes actually, now I'm thinking about it, where it was like people, if you're doing CGI people, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Wow.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
So, and when they're like flying around and like hurling lightning at people and stuff like that, it's maybe a little bit obvious, takes you out a little bit.
Right.
But I enjoyed it anyway. And okay. It was good. So
yeah. I love the
not
world
knock it
that they built as well. So Sakaara, is that what it was called?
Sure.
Sorry.
I don't know.
Like the Grandmaster's,
the Devil's Asshole or whatever.
That was funny. But yeah, the way they did it, it felt very Star Wars, you know, with the like junk and stuff.
Yeah,
that was really cool. And like their makeup and the costumes and stuff. I just think they did it really, really well. And that was an actual set because I remember they did a like Facebook Live and they showed you the whole entire set. And it was very, very well done, I thought. Psychedelic, colourful, fantastic, very Guardians.
Even just, the creative idea of having, like, the garbage world or whatever. It's quite a nice idea. Lots of good ideas in it and stuff that they visually succeeded with.
Yes.
So...
Okay, one of the biggest questions then, did the gladiator scene pay off?
Yeah.
Good. If Chris is sold on it, then...
I think it was great. And I think it was longer than you kind of thought it would be. But it really did work. I even like the fact that in the trailer we saw bits of it, like where she destroyed his hammer and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
We saw bits of things, but they'd obviously actually
taken
parts of them out and changed the backgrounds and things like that. That's some serious work.
Yeah.
For a trailer. Like, they put money into their trailer.
Yeah, and they kind of hid things as well,
which
is quite
fantastic.
Interesting.
Oh,
and
that's great.
Yeah, for once they didn't give everything away, which was nice. I mean, going back to Hulk, obviously visual effects were phenomenal, I thought.
Yeah, again, you can definitely tell it was CGI, but I mean...
Hulk.
But yeah, I liked... His face seemed even more Banner-like this time.
Yes, yeah.
What's his name?
Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo, yes, he seemed even more Mark Ruffalo looking, which I like.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I guess you want that.
Certain scene to look out for, from me, is obviously the gladiator scene. That was fantastic. And I'm just going to say one more, and I'm not going to explain it at all, but it was very near the start. Look out for a theatre performance.
That was fantastic.
Because that is just hilarious.
Brilliant.
So good. Okay, so rounding this off. Oh, by the way, there are two post-credit scenes, just to let you all know.
And
some people still left.
Yeah.
I feel like screaming at them. It's a Marvel film. What are you doing?
They're not aware of the... I don't know.
There was also a cameo from another Marvel person who was in one of the trailers, but I'm not going to say anymore. But he was quite funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was good. I enjoyed that. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so, rounding this
up. A little bit more than the cameo.
Well, I don't know.
I don't actually know if it needed it.
No, I don't think they did. But
it was good. I did enjoy it, so maybe it did.
Okay. Rounding this off, so where would you place this in the Marvel Cinematic Universe then, Chris?
What, in terms of my favourites?
Yes.
I'm going to say the top.
Wow. Bold statement.
Bold statement. I mean, I still love my Iron Mans and I still love my Avengers, you know? But I think this one just had the perfect comedy for me.
Yeah.
And the perfect look.
Okay. And the perfect sound and
vibe. The perfect vibe, yeah. I think it's going to be a hard one to beat for me, really.
Yes.
What about you?
It's difficult. I would try to rank them the other day, sorry.
The other time.
I think for funnies, this would definitely be...
Yeah.
I think this and Guardians are very, very close for me. I think I'll put Avengers. And then Guardians and Thor, maybe. But then Winter Soldier's very high for me.
That's on the bottom for me.
Okay, this conversation ends here. So, how would you rate this film then, Chris?
I would give this 2 thumbs up. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Really funny. Looks brilliant.
Yes.
Just sounds great. You know everything. So all the things.
All the things. For me, two massive thumbs up. If I could give more, two Hulk thumbs up, I would give this. But yeah, if you love Taikiti Watiti...
Taika Waititi.
Yes, if you love him, then you'll love this film so much. Yeah, it's like the perfect film from him. Such comedy. Good comedy, yeah. Just fantastic. Very funny, great character development. Looks amazing, sounds great. Possibly story lacking slightly in villain, but you don't need it because it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah, go and see this film. TV roundup time.
TV roundup time.
So yeah, we've been watching so much stuff on telly, trying to cram in as much as we can before the holiday because we might not be able to get Wi-Fi. Stranger Things 2 is coming out.
At least we'll have some stuff to watch when we get back.
Yeah, true. Nobody spoiled anything for us.
Yeah, we've been watching The Punisher. We're not allowed to talk about
that.
Let's talk about what can we talk about?
So we've been watching Electric Dreams.
Okay.
But that was not on this weekend because of the stupid Formula One.
And I was not amused. Don't let your dad hear you say that.
You're like, you are no daughter of mine. I banish thee. So yeah, since we last talked about Electric Dreams, I think there's been two extras. There was one with Steve Buscemi, which was super bizarre and didn't make any sense at all. And then the second one with Anna Paquin.
Anna Paquin. Yes. Suki. Yeah, I mean, I think they're kind of cool.
They're interesting.
I think that they have good ideas because they're based on the short stories which had the good ideas in, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they really fleshed them out enough into like full-on stories that are good enough for TV, really.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think they really go anywhere. They just kind of touch on these ideas and then...
Yeah, I don't like the idea of just like one story per episode sort of thing.
I don't mind that. I mean, it works for Black Mirror, right?
Yeah.
But I just don't think these are fleshed out enough for TV.
Okay.
I think they're just quite... They've left them quite simple. They haven't really added much of a story element in some of them. And they're just kind of giving you the ideas. But they're kind of... They feel a little bit unfulfilling to me because there's no real arc, perhaps. What do you think?
That was rather rambly.
I'm sorry, I like to ramble. Let's move on then, shall we? What about Mindhunter?
Okay, so this is David Fincher's Netflix TV show.
It is.
We are three episodes in?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I am really enjoying this. Well, it's hard to enjoy, to be honest, because they're talking about...
murder.
Serial killers. But they haven't yet coined.
Coined the term. They call them sequence killers.
Oh, okay.
At the moment, don't they? So I think that's different to a serial killer. Or is it the same? But they just haven't come up with the terminology.
Yeah, basically.
It is very clever.
Yes.
It's well shot.
It's very Fincher looking.
Yes.
Super Fincher looking.
It's actually great, the way it's shot. It's fantastic.
The lighting, everything.
Yeah, sorry. Even the camera moves. Yeah. And stuff. Characters are great.
Mm-hmm.
I find the murderer that we've
seen so far is
very interesting.
Yeah, but you're like, whoa.
But at the same time, I feel like I need to watch less stuff about like murders and things.
Before you go to bed.
I mean, well, right now, it's just the world is a little bit crazy, and I don't think I need all these.
Especially with, like, that hijacking in Eaton, which is, like, 15 minutes away from it.
I need to work out how to, like, disable news on my phone, obviously.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I would just flick
really
over to it.
It's
like Bixby or whatever. Sod off Bixby, because you keep ruining my life.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just start looking through and then flicking through for, like, half an hour.
Oh, dear.
And it's depressing, isn't it? So many of these stories. Mm. Oh, I can't. Anyway. it's great.
It's great. It is fantastic. I'm definitely hooked. One of my friends has watched it all and she's like, I need to talk to you about it. Come on. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry.
I think it's something we could probably blitz through in a couple of days.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe take a couple of days off and just do it. How long is it, actually?
I think there's 10 episodes.
Okay, that's not even that. We could do that in
quote me if I'm wrong. Sorry. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So, not Bonfire.
Great, would recommend.
Great, definitely. Yeah, yes.
Bonfire.
Bonfire, a.k.a. Gunpowder.
A.k.a. its real name, Gunpowder.
Yes. so this is the Kit Harington three-part drama on BBC about the Gunpowder plot.
Yes.
So Guy Fawkes. And also Catesby.
I don't know who that is.
I think that's the one that Kit Harington plays.
Okay.
So he was actually I think he was the kind of plot behind it, and Guy Fawkes was the one who just carried it out sort of thing.
So this is a real thing that happened.
Yeah, this is a real thing
and
that happened. And
it is something that we celebrate in this country, but we're really not talk too much about, are we? Because I don't feel like I know the story that well.
You know stuff about Henry VIII, and you know stuff about Elizabeth, and yet this was quite...
I feel like it's one of those things that the government would actually want to keep around because it reminds people not
to stay in their place.
To destroy the government buildings and stuff. It's like one of those kind of cautionary tales. Don't mess with us, guys. You know? But yeah, it's kind of interesting. I didn't know how... I've heard of hanging, drawing, and quartering before.
Yeah.
I never really understood how that would work. But it was actually very quick. And
it was horrible.
It was horrible, but it was quite... It wasn't a drawn-out process, which I kind of expected.
I don't know.
It would be horrible to experience that.
I don't want to talk about it. I talked about this at work for a while, and I was just sitting there like, why am I talking about this?
Yeah. But it's like the hanging part, why bother? Because
it
didn't finish them off.
No.
So the worst bit is the drawing.
Can we
where they cut you open and pull your guts out.
Can we stop talking about this?
And then quartering, they cut your legs off.
Oh, gosh. Okay, yep. That is indeed what they do. Anyway, what I found interesting was the woman's death. I never heard about that before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Never heard about that at all. So they put, like, they put her on a stone, and then they put a wooden board over.
Yeah, to break her back, I think.
Oh, and
I
then,
guess.
Like, really heavy board. Yeah.
It's just a little stone, but they put it right on the... lay her over this... Like, it's the small of her back was on this stone, wasn't it?
Okay.
They put this thing on her, and then they put the weights on it.
Mm.
Yeah, that I've never heard of that one.
No. Anyway, other than that, that was probably the most controversial part of the show.
But I mean, things that kind of stuff still happened all around the world today. It's really bad.
Horrible. Anyway, depressing. I thought the show was a bit, I don't know, as you put it, British drama.
It did have a vibe. It did have a little bit of
the whole
British
opening
drama vibe.
Sequence, I think I timed it and it was about 20 minutes
long.
They
were in that room for freaking...
forever. Yeah. I mean, there was like it was tense at the start, but it was there for so long that it was like, I can't bored now.
I'm
actually bored, and I watch Broadchurch where they have lots of these slow.
But I do think this had more substance to it than Broadchurch does. So.
No. Anyway.
No, yeah, it does.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. It was great. I don't want to spoil too much, but we finally saw someone at the end, and that moment was like,
pretty obvious. It was Guy Fawkes.
Okay. Some people might not have seen this, Chris, and you've just spoiled the first episode for them.
I'm sorry. It was going to happen, wasn't it? You were probably going to meet Guy Fawkes in Gunpowder.
Yeah, I suppose so. Anyway, I don't know what I thought of this. I thought it was filmed really well, and obviously the sets were great, the costumes were great. It was obviously period. But it is... I mean, I went on Twitter afterwards, and everyone was like, it felt very Marmite-y. A lot of people were talking about scenes that we're not going to talk about again. But yeah, they were basically either saying, oh, this is really horrible, this is gruesome, why is this on at like 9 o'clock sort of thing? And then the other half of the people were like, this actually happened, people need to see this kind of thing, grow up, it's after 9 o'clock sort of thing. And it's like, oh, okay. But this is interesting.
I did find it very interesting. I think one of the things that I thought was that grabbed me a little bit was that, you know, people dying and stuff, but even like their close family or whatever, they were just kind of dealing with it, you know?
They were just watching.
Which
was insane.
Like, okay, this is happening.
Yeah.
I guess at the time, life expectancies were quite low.
Yeah.
So you weren't expected to live past like 40 or something anyway. It was very strange to see like a group of people really not having any kind of respect for life, even when they're like family. I mean, they were obviously upset about it, but they just kind of dealt with it.
Yeah. Oh, very odd.
It was very strange.
Mm.
But I kind of found that quite interesting.
Okay. And what else I found quite interesting was obviously there was the new king.
Yeah.
And he didn't seem too bothered about the Catholics. It was like this Mark Gatiss character who appears in every single
usually as a king.
You're
going to
be a bad guy.
Dignitary.
Yeah. He was the one that was bothered about the Catholics. And it was really weird. I'm like, why did you hate them so much? Because the king was like, oh, I want to keep the peace with Spain. On the down low, I've got some Catholic friends, you know. I don't mind about them. They just keep to themselves sort of thing.
That's the way it goes, though. Like, the monarchs are just there to have fun most of the time.
Yeah,
they're just enjoying their riches or whatever. They have other people to deal with the actual nitty-gritty stuff. So yeah, I guess.
But it's a very interesting point. I mean, we were discussing this for a long time at work on Monday. We were like, oh my gosh, did you see this? And it was interesting to see about how religion plays so much on everything. and how it causes so many wars, so many people to be killed. And it feels like every so often there's a certain religion that gets persecuted, which is kind of interesting.
I don't even think it's necessarily religions nowadays. There's so many ideologies out there. They're not even all religions now, are they? It's like, I mean, ideologies used to be religions.
Right.
Every ideology was a religion. Now there's so many different ideologies.
You're not explaining this. No. Sorry.
I don't know. I feel like nowadays we're struggling because, I mean, I think it's great. I think there should be more different people, because then no one institution or whatever can take over.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's decentralization. Keep everything spread out and interesting. And I think that's something. But now people are like, oh no, we want to be
connected?
No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Never mind. Let's continue. What's next?
Okay. So yeah, I don't think I'd recommend that. It's a three-parter. You can watch them all on iPlayer now, I think.
Okay.
But they're on every Sunday. Every Saturday for 3 Saturdays in a row.
I didn't realize it was so short.
Yeah.
I'll watch the rest of them.
You want to watch it? Really? Okay.
Why not? There's only 2 left. It's not like I have to go through.
But yeah, at work, we'll talk about the torture super quickly again. Everyone was saying it's kind of interesting how like we deal with like Vikings and Game of Thrones. And it's okay because we know it's not real and there's dragons and shit in there. So we're like, oh, it's fine. And then you watch something like this and it's like, wow, that was too much. And it's so bizarre, isn't it? Maybe because it was real and it actually happened. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
For me, it didn't feel that real. I mean, you can always tell that it's not real, right?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I went through it with them. It was horrible. Anyway, we'll talk about that. So, moving on. Mr. Robot was back.
Mr. Robot's back. Love Mr. Robot.
Season 3?
Yes.
I think episode 2 we've just watched.
Okay.
Very good. It's back to being amazing again. But you fell asleep in this one, and it was one of the best ones.
Was it? What happened?
Oh, we need to watch it again.
I don't know. I'm not so convinced yet in this one because really? I don't know what it is. Yeah, I guess there's not so much. I mean, I haven't seen much hacking or anything yet.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it. I'm just not sold on what's happening yet.
I feel like it's gone back to the start again. Going back to that sort of same sort of quality and talking about society and stuff. And there was that excellent counsellor scene, which was very, very good. We need to watch this again.
Maybe I'll need to watch it again.
Yes. Star Trek. We have watched more Star Trek. I think we're episode 6 now, which is crazy. I can't believe it.
I am really enjoying it now. My concerns were that it was going to be something completely different, but I don't think it is. I think it's sort of almost like a coming of age story.
Okay, yeah.
Where the Federation is coming of age, and they're kind of... I'm hoping that at some point in the series or in future seasons, we will get introduced to the Prime Directives, because they haven't talked about those. Do we have the Prime Directives yet? You know, that's the Star Trek thing. They have the Prime Directives. Never mind. I know we've had... So it's set between Geoffrey Archer's Enterprise and the original series, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of in this space, which doesn't... I don't know if that makes much sense, but...
Okay.
But it's, I guess it's between when they've just first entered space and when they're, like, exploring. Mm-hmm. So now they've kind of come into this war thing. Yeah. And everything's very fresh for them, I guess, still. I don't know, but it's really interesting. And the captain's, like, a little bit of a dickhead.
Yes.
But everyone else is kind of starting to...
I don't know. I don't think they do realise.
Everyone else has got a conscience, I think.
Okay.
And they're kind of working with him, and there's going to be this whole dynamic of he just wants to get the job done.
Right.
Get the war finished.
Yes.
And they'll be like, no, we can't do that because that's, you know, immoral or whatever.
Barbaric.
It's going to be like this whole thing. So that's cool. Yeah, I think there's going to be some developments there and stuff. It's quite interesting.
I think I'm more into Michael more as well.
Yeah, Michael's an interesting character.
Yeah, Michael's very layered, shall we say. Very complex. That's all we shall say. But I love her friend. She's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
What's her name? I can't remember. She's just my favourite. Love her so much.
It's quite good because they are very...
They're a good dynamic.
They're very individual characters with flaws. Much more... I think they have more flaws than they have previously in other Star Treks.
Yeah, because they all seem quite perfect.
Yeah, and so in this, they're more... They're kind of really exploring the human aspect of it, I guess, because previously they've always been so professional and, like, we're soldiers or whatever, haven't they?
Mm.
Usually. Whereas in this, they're more human and they're kind of interacting in a more human way, which I kind of like.
Mm.
Even though they're some of them are aliens, but you know, yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's more honest, okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
In their Never mind.
Okay. Next. Robot Wars.
Robot Wars.
Woo! That returned, and I was very sad watching this.
I was very sad as well, but it was good. I really enjoyed it. It was.
There was a hilarious moment where they had like spikes coming out of the floor.
Someone hadn't nailed down the spikes.
Or screw them in or something properly. And they just kind of, came up and kept going.
I think that's the thing. I think they were supposed to be screwed in.
But yeah.
They weren't screwed
in. Oh dear.
But there were some great flips.
Yes.
Some of those tiny light little cluster bots got thrown around a bit.
They were interesting, actually.
Yeah.
I like the idea of them. I just don't think they're very practical.
They don't work. Bots. I mean, it's kind of like a cheat. It's like, if they're not all immobilized, you get through or something like that,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, they're just trying to be sneaky.
And they don't do much damage, so it's like, they're just trying to get through.
Yes, but Apollo. Like
poor old Apollo.
Second year. You could tell he was super, like, super gutted about it.
Yeah, you would be. You would
they put so much money into these robots. It's insane. Yeah. And what was the other one? The one who was, like, super into it.
Bear Moth or whatever.
No.
Oh. Is that what it's called? Something like that.
Yeah, Robot Wars. So yeah, that was pretty much a TV roundup. We've also been watching silly things like Strictly and Bake Off, but Bake Off is dead to me now because Liam left and I'm not very happy. It was like when Selassie left.
Yeah.
That was really upsetting. He was the best one out of that.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
you always have your favourite, don't you? When they leave, it's like, can't bother now.
Well, it's all the goody-goody people left in now.
Yeah.
That are good at everything. And
I don't like that lady.
No, which one? Oh, the one that got Star Baker. Yeah. She broke an oven and she left parchment paper on it. How did she get Star Baker? She did not deserve that at all.
Yeah.
Anger.
I agree.
So let us know what you've been watching and if you recommend anything. This week we're joined by Desmond Tiam, who stars in the Shannara Chronicles. He's General Rigger, who is a new character for Series 2. So if you haven't seen Series 1, probably best not to listen to this interview. but if you enjoy fantasy and if you enjoy talking about Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones, this is definitely one for you. So enjoy. Okay, so welcome Desmond Tiam, aka General Rigger from Shannara Chronicles. How are you doing today?
Hi. I'm doing great. It's good to be here.
Great, thank you. So, first episode kicked off this week.
It did.
So, how did you actually get involved with Shannara Chronicles?
That was my involvement with the Shannara series, I guess, goes all the way back to childhood and imagination and all that whatnot. But as far as the series itself goes, I had originally auditioned by self-tape through my Australian agents to the role of Garrett Jax. Who's one of my favorites in the books. And I guess they flagged me on that audition because I didn't go any further on that. But once the General Rigger breakdowns came out, which are the things that get sent out through Hollywood saying we have a character we need to cast. Once the General Rigger breakdowns came out, they asked for another self-tape and I sent that in. And about I was working on another project at the time. And I was on set and about 4 hours after I submitted my self-tape, I got an email back saying, great, yep, you got it. You're flying to New Zealand.
Wow.
And that was the fastest anything has ever happened in my life. So I was very dubious at first. I thought it was a prank email or one of those like Nigerian scams or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what's General Rigger's deal with magic? I mean, wow.
He hates it. Mm. He absolutely hates it. And he's sort of a stand-in for a group of characters from the books, from the Confederacy of Man who hate magic. General Rigger actually doesn't appear in the books.
Right.
But what they had in the books was a sort of loose organization that was against magic. And I think for this show, you have to show these things visually and you have to have it grounded in a character. So they gave it to they tied it into the plot of the first season and they gave General Rigger the anti-magic extremism that the other characters once had. And look, to be perfectly honest, his logic is warped, but it is consistent.
True.
You know, without magic there would have been no demons. Without demons, thousands of people wouldn't have died. and you'll see in the first couple of episodes that a lot of people feel somewhat similarly.
Mm.
You know, even King Anders' closest advisor has you know, he has thoughts that go that way. I can't say too much about that, but he does sort of think as the people do.
True. So how did you actually prepare for the role? Because it's quite, they've gone really like action heavy in this series, haven't they, so far?
Yeah. So because my casting was so sort of last minute, I think they were struggling to cast Riga. And the team in general had about 2 months of pre-production, I believe. So time to get fittings, do their costumes, train every day with our trainers, Josh and Steve Davis, and our stunt coordinator, Augie Davis. And they sort of whipped us all into shape. Now, I came in really late to the process. I came in with about a week and a half to go.
Pre-production.
Not long. We had to jam everything in. I was up at like 5 a.m. going to makeup tests. We went through like 4 or 5 different looks before we settled on the one that we finally got. And wardrobe tests were actually quite quick. They had a template for that. They had that locked in. They just had to get it measured and fit to me. So that was really, really quite painless. And that was the testament of all the Lord of the Rings experience on the show.
Yeah.
We pretty much had their crew, the mechs and costumes and such. And then the training was grueling. Oh my goodness. I consider myself a reasonably fit person. And I sort of walked into the training room a bit like, oh yeah, well, you know, I'm going to be fine. This is going to be no problems. And then I was on the floor about half an hour, starfish on the floor, just letting my essence seep into it and just slowly vanishing from this world.
Oh dear. Yeah. So did you get to train with Manu Bennett at all?
I did. Yeah. First scene in Shannara that I filmed is with Manu, and it's a little bit of a fight scene. It's a small, no, it's got some physical things that happen. And he came to training along with all the rest of the cast and some of the crew actually jumped in near the end. But while we were filming, we continued training. So days where we weren't filming, we'd be in the training room working with swords, working with weapons, working with falls, working with as many skills as the stunt team could give us in as short a time possible. And we trained with Manu a few times. That man is a beast.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's quite daunting.
It is incredibly daunting. Oh my God, I was scared out of my mind. He's got a presence when he walks into the room. He walks in and you just feel it, and you turn around and you're like, oh, this is a powerful man.
Yeah, I just put my weapons now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or if we're in the weights room, I'll be like, well, I'm not going to get there, so I'll just put these down and leave. Thanks, Josh. Yeah. See ya.
Nice. So how much of the stunts do you actually get to do?
Look, it would be a discredit to our stunt team to say that we do all the stunts. I'm not the hugest fan when actors say that, because it's never true. They do all the stunts that the stunt team let you do. And at the end of the day, it's someone's job to do that. If you do all your stunts, someone doesn't get paid. Someone's out of a job. And these guys are veterans that have worked their whole lives to do this. And I work with a lot of stunt people here in LA, so I'm very close to that sort of argument. Having said that, they did let me do an awful lot. Me and Aaron, Jackie Benko, both. They let us do pretty much all the fights that we had this season were us. We weren't doubled for any of the fights.
Oh, wow.
So they let us have free reign, which on the flip side of things is an actor's dream, because that's what I wanted to do. I'm a fantasy nerd. I'm all about swords and boards and magic. So the fact that they let me swing these things around, the first time that they handed me the swords, actually, I'm pretty sure the 10-year-old boy in me like just erupted with excitement.
Nice. So how long did it take to learn the choreography?
Not as long as I thought. Not as long as I thought it would take. I mean, really learning it doesn't take too long. It's refining it and getting it pitch perfect. That's the issue. Because, you know, you got to be safe with it, but you got to make it look vicious. You can't pull anything. I mean, obviously that's an exaggeration. You do have to pull a little bit. You can't just whack away at someone. But to make that look real and for people to buy that, oh, he really was trying to kill. He was trying to take that guy's head off. That's where the weeks of training start to kick in, So to learn the actual steps, it's like learning a dance. It can be done relatively quickly if you have a mirror and a decent teacher. But me and Aaron then, you know, for a couple of fights and fights that he had with a few others, and then, you know, Marcus had some fights with others. They really take the time to step us through, you know, each sort of blow and be like, you know, here's how this one can look kind of vicious, and, you know, you can take a pause here to make it look real, and you know, things like that. Turn it into a duel.
So what is so special about Will? I mean, everyone seems to want him this series.
Don't we all? I don't know how much I can say about that. I don't think I can say anything about why I want Will. Mm-hmm. You'll have to watch episode through the episodes to find out. But he is marked by destiny, I can say. Will.
Yes, by his father and...
Yes, yeah. The Shannara is a hereditary title, you know, in the books. And it's a line that sort of just is interwoven with the fate of the Four Lands. And it's much the same in the show.
I just feel sorry for him because he just kind of fell into it. He didn't know about...
Yeah. I mean, isn't that sort of the trope of fantasy as a whole, is the reluctant hero?
Yeah.
You know? It's that perfect archetype. It works well, is why it's a trope. I have nothing against them. So
How amazing was it filming in New Zealand?
Oh my God, it was a dream. New Zealand is really, really pretty. I'm going to get so much. Yeah, it's like, okay, because I'm Australian, right? And we have an unspoken thing where I'm not sure, maybe it's like England, Scotland, or here in the US, it's US, Canada. But there's a rivalry, you know.
England, France, yeah.
England, France, there we go. So we have a very strong rivalry with New Zealand. And even though we are objectively the better Southern Hemisphere nationality, they do have the better country. They really do. I can't even keep up the pretense. New Zealand is better. It's really nice. Like, outside of Auckland, you can drive 20 to 30 minutes in any direction, and you can be in any landscape that you want. You know, volcanic kind of geothermal area. You can be in plains, you can be in hills, forest, jungle, beach, all within 30 minutes of the main city.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Wow. Did you visit Hobbit Town while you were there?
Of course, yes. I have so many pictures of me doing a silly, silly Bilbo walk up on the hills. And actually, we did the standard tour when we got there, and the tour guide was like, "Does anyone want to recreate the scene where Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit runs down from his house down to the bottom of the Shire, yelling, 'I'm going on an adventure,' and my hand shot up. I was like, me, I want to do that. I 100% want to do that." So yeah, I got to do that whole little path and run all the way screaming, "We're going on an adventure." It was a dream. It was a dream come true.
Yeah, little childhood dream come true right there.
Yeah. Yep.
Nice. So have you got any other favorite fantasies at all? Obviously Lord of the Rings and Hobbit, she said.
How long do you? I'll stick to a few. I was very much a bookworm when I was growing up, so science fiction and fantasy both were my thing. And actually, funnily enough, I read Terry Brooks' Shannara before I read Lord of the Rings. And I think I must have been about 10 at the time. And Lord of the Rings was, to be honest, it's a tour de force, but it is difficult for a 10-year-old to read.
It's a big book. Yeah.
And I made the mistake of starting with the Silmarillion. The first Tolkien book I picked up was Silmarillion. And it's more of an encyclopedia than a book. So I sort of fell off that. And then I found these other books by a chap called Raymond E. Feist, which was the Magician series and the Rift War series. And those were incredible books. I think they were probably heavy for a 10-year-old, but a little easier to read than Lord of the Rings. And that sort of introduced me to the concept of high fantasy. Mm. And then there I moved to another much easier to read author called David Eddings, who wrote Belgarion and Malorian. And then from there I moved to the Shannara Chronicles. Sword of Shannara, Elfstones, all that. And then from there, I finally, I think probably about 5 years later, read Tolkien. So, yeah, so I have a pretty storied history with most of my fans. I still have most of the books. I'm looking at them. I brought them all with me to California. They're on the shelf next to me.
Oh. Yeah. Little memory. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. No, yeah, I still read them nowadays.
Oh, wow. How about Game of Thrones? More sort of fantasy like that? Or?
Yes. I was one of those annoying people going around on the internet going like, well, have you read the books? Yeah. That was me.
It's me too. Don't worry. Well, it wasn't in the book.
You were surprised that Eddard Stark died? Well, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. So I had read the first three books before the series came, and I'm sort of working my way through the rest of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
They are. So, yeah, they're slightly different towards the end of the series to the book, which is
How do you feel about that?
I'm not sure. I feel like the show's a bit more of a fan service.
Sure. Yes. Yes. And that's never been the modus operandi of Game of Thrones.
No. It's always being kill your favorite character off.
Yeah. Although to be honest, I am struggling a little bit with Game of Thrones, and I struggled in like third season because it just got really, because I was watching The Walking Dead at the same time, and it just got really heavy and got
both
really
of those
depressing.
Shows.
And I was like, kind of like, I am exhausted after watching these shows.
Yeah.
So I basically just started watching a lot of like really light comedies and all that. And I haven't actually gone back to Game of Thrones yet. I'm not current.
Oh.
I'm always like, I have to find the energy and time to really sit down and just watch it. And neither of those things has been in particular abundance lately. So it's just a grueling series to watch. It's great. It's fantastic, but it takes it out of me.
Yeah.
Real sad.
I tried to rewatch it again, but couldn't do series three because of the Red Wedding.
Yep. That's
just
sort
too
of where
hard.
I finished. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. That, you know, maybe I'm a little too soft, but it really took it out of me. Yeah. And it's different reading it in the book, right? Like reading it in the book, it's some things a little different about it, but seeing it on screen is so visceral.
Yeah. Yeah. I did talk for a while after it.
Yes. Yep. I was silent.
So go back to Nara, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
How would you describe the rest of the series? If you could sum it up without spoilers, what would you say?
Ooh, dark, epic, and action-packed. We really stepped it up this season.
Ooh.
Yeah, with a lot of set pieces. So get ready for those.
Mm, have we got more Elfstones on the way?
We do have more Elfstones on the way.
Ooh.
They feature very prominently.
Oh, okay. Definitely something to look out for then.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yep. So last one. You working on anything else at the moment at all?
Not currently. Technically I have a movie in post, a Disney film, one of Disney's smaller slate, but it's Magic Camp. So that was ironic. Actually, that was the project I was filming at the time I booked Shannara. And they went from playing a magician, a master of the arcane, to playing an anti-magic extremist. So that should be, we're doing some posts for it right now, but that should be coming out close to the start of next year.
Oh, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it should be fun. Should be fun. Lots of fun outfits in that one.
So you kind of went from druid to elf.
Yeah. Exactly. It was a very strange switch, and then I sort of had to hate magic while I'd lived with it for like a few months and loved it. So that was very odd.
Very torn. Yeah.
Yeah. Very conflicted Riga. Yeah. He doesn't believe what he's saying. No. He's such a fundamentalist. But yeah.
Okay, great.
So yeah, that's about it.
Oh, that's great. So thank you so much for coming onto the show with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And we look forward to the rest of the series too.
Yes, it's going to be great. It's going to be really, really good.
Yeah. Great.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
So thanks very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this shorter episode, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So if you have any feedback or any comments you'd like to, or recommendations for anything for us to watch, because we always love a good TV show, mm-hmm. then how do they go about letting us know then, Chris?
also complaints. you can contact us on the Instagrams and the Facebooks and the Twitters. com/ We Have a Hulk Pod.
Yep.
We're also available on our Gmails. We have hulkpod@gmail.com and YouTube/ We Have a Hulk.
Yes, we do need to do some more videos though.
Yeah, we haven't done any videos lately.
No.
Let's know if we should. I don't know. Yeah, it's quite a lot of work.
So yeah, also our website is wehaveahulk.co.uk. So if you want to look at any news, we've got a little handy bit for our reviews, news and podcasts, which I've been working on quite a lot lately. So if you'd like to visit that too. And also, if you do enjoy us, then please leave us a nice iTunes review, because that does help us out.
Yeah, 7 stars. Thank you very much.
7. So in our next episodes, obviously we're going to miss one because we'll be on a boat. On a boat. I'm on a horse. Yeah, so we might not get Wi-Fi. So sorry, there may be a little bit of a break between this, but we'll come back with a Marvel Mini.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll have something fantastically Thor to talk about.
Fantastically Thor. Okay.
Oh, come on. It was a pun on Fantastic Four with Thor. Okay. I thought that was quite smart, but never mind.
Sure.
Also coming up is Murder on the Orient Express, which I'm so excited about.
It does look good.
I thought you said it's good.
I haven't even seen it yet.
It's
good. Yeah.
So yeah, that's something to look forward to. Obviously, we've got Justice League this month as well, and Punisher on Netflix. So look out for that coming soon.
Yes.
And also Runaways is in November. So that's also another one to look out for. And yeah, just basically a warning. Also, we forgot to mention we saw The Snowman.
Oh, yeah. A warning. Yeah,
a warning. Probably not to watch that film.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, just quickly, I mean, they didn't film like 15% of the film or something like that.
Yeah.
They had issues for whatever reason, and the final edit wasn't brilliant.
I think, it described it as like a beautiful mess. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It looked good.
Yeah.
Good acting. The script seemed fine. I mean, in terms of dialogue and stuff, seemed okay.
Yes.
It was just that they didn't have enough content to make a finished film that didn't work.
It didn't make sense. It didn't flow. So many questions. Yes.
So yeah, ultimately, not a good watch.
No. So once again, thanks very much for listening. I'm signing out. I'm Nicola.
And I am Christopher, your co-pilot.
Thanks for listening. I hope to see you soon.
Bye!
This has been a production of the GWW Radio Network. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Also, check out Geeks Worldwide at thegww.com for all the latest news, reviews, and opinions on video games, comics, movies, TV, cosplay, and more. Geeks, assemble!